You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend, and hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, it must get done, you will do it. Excuse me. And you'll do it safely. That's right. You'll keep your distance. Your hands are going to be clean, and you're wearing a mask because it's out there. I know. For those who have vaccinated and those who have had both vaccinations, or those who have the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccination, whatever, you feel more secure and so forth. But I say to you, you know, don't take anything for granted. You know, a friend of mine, she got vaccinated. She's wearing masks. She's wearing gloves. And I don't blame her because, hey, especially if you have a precondition, which most of us do. So be safe. Brothers and sisters, be safe. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 6, all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. That's followed by from 8 to 9, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. Following that program is from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, and Wednesdays from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So tonight, brothers and sisters, at 8 p.m. this evening, it's Time for an Awakening. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. Sunday, at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Remember, please go on there. All products are produced by us, and they are seeking donations. They are seeking your help.
We want to establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. I know I got frustrated the other day, and I'm frustrated again. I'm frustrated today. I don't know why I'm doing this damn frustrating ass program. Because it is. You know, once they made the call, we should have been putting money in and helping them. Same with us lifting us. I mean, we need to be involved. We need more of us to, well, they're seeking the help to establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. We don't own a damn supermarket in the Atlanta area. We don't have a lot of convenience stores, service stations, convenience stores. I mean, anyway, let me go on, brothers and sisters. This is going to be ridiculous. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahemba has been taking our people to Africa for many years. So he is, Brother Bomani has been tested and he is tried and true. So give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Also to Brother Bomani Tahemba. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. He has a trip upcoming next month, May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. November 18th through November 29th, going to Tanzania. December 24th to January 5th, 2022, to Ghana. April 1st to April 11th, 2022, Senegal and Gambia, all at that same price, $3,700. Put a $400 deposit down, pay on it on a monthly. When your trip comes up, there you are, a trip of a lifetime. And everything you need is on the site. So go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Baba Rinoco, he has tonight the African presence in early Europe at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight, 8 p.m. to 9:30. And then tomorrow, Saturday, May 1st, 11 a.m. to 12:30. That's on Eventbrite. Go to Eventbrite. Africa for the Africans. Excuse me. Baba Rinoco, Dr. Rinoco, drrinoco.com. And then next Friday, the great mother, black women in our history. This is a special Mother's Day presentation. The great mother, African black women in our history. The African woman in our history. 8 p.m. on Friday, May 7th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. He is going to Ghana, July 18th to August 3rd. And the trip is an educational tour with Professor Small and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. Professor Small and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. And then he's going to Kemet, July 31st to August 13th. He'll be in Kemet. So go to drrinoco.com and make whatever arrangements you can. And, of course, those presentations are on Eventbrite. Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. They are doing the work, the great job they're doing. Look at the beautiful pictures that they have on Habesha. Remember, Habesha is a pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. That's HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to and check out their programs of Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs, and, of course, the Kashi Project in Ghana. You'll see great pictures of, you know, the walls are up. They're still, you know, but they still need the financial help that we can provide, brothers and sisters. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics, the Ledge Group. Go to ledgegroup.com. Check it out. They have a raffle that you can win a safari in Tanzania. Tanzanian Safari at the Ledge Group. Ledge deals with the four areas of human existence. They deal with food, water, clothing, and shelter for African people. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries and over 170 employed and over 260 members. They need more members. You need to become a member. In fact, if you are a member, you can buy land in Tanzania. You can buy land. You can get an acre of land for $250 US. $250 US. So check out the Ledge Group. BB Toomey. BB Toomey. BBToomey.com. They have a program tomorrow at 1 o'clock with Brother Manua Pim. It's time for us to do work. We lecture a lot. There's many brothers and sisters who do outstanding jobs of presentations and lectures, but we need the workshop model. We don't need the speaker model. We need the workshop model. We need to put down plans of action and give brothers and sisters a directive and a timeline. We need action, because that's what I'm talking about today. You know, because we don't have action, our situation is tenuous, deeply tenuous. So brothers and sisters, we need action. Without Us Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy Street, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays. That's right, today from 1 to 7, and then tomorrow from 1 to 7. I'm not sure if they resume services or not. I don't know. You know, but I can find out. That's right. at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, delicious smoothies and health drinks and all kinds of good stuff. And on weekends, they have vegan meals that are prepared there. So you check it out. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, check her out in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and you name it. She's got it. She got a bigger place. So check out Mama Nia at the Medu Bookstore. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Kazimde Ajamu. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He has a fine selection of books and all kinds of good stuff. And a delicious coffee bar where he serves Cameroon Boyo, my favorite. So give brother Kazimde Ajamu a buzz and see if he has what you need. He's also, they both places have the, no, Mama Nia does not have the red, black, and green shoes. The Shrine has them. The Black Dot has them, you know. And Wadada's did have them, but that brother's no longer in Wadada's. So, okay. Us Lifting Up, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, I always like to say family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast last night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to Blog Talk Radio on Thursdays at 9 p.m. blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Every Thursday night at 9 p.m. At 9 p.m. If you want to call to listen, you can do so. But if you want to ask a question, you have a comment or a concern, you can do that as well at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road, Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact my good sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. If you're looking for grooming products and incense and T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff like that, contact Sun Goddess Sense. And contact my sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. You got somebody with some gifts, you know, they need a gift. You got a birthday or anniversary, whatever. Contact them. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Aiti Gabriel really is doing outstanding work. I saw a picture of some children look just like my sisters. They had the gold school uniform, golden brown, just like my sister, except they were waving Chinese flags. I said to myself, they should be waving red, black, and green flags. It's a damn shame. Sanjay-I80, go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, Sanjay-Haiti.org, Sanjay-Haiti. And these brothers and sisters deserve to be supported. Akabin Institute, where Baba Barudi and Mama Ya Barudi are doing outstanding work, and you know it. I've been always promoting them and always will. You know, and I know that, you know, if you're like me, you make a check out and you send it to P.O. Box, put it in the mail, right? Put a stamp on the envelope and everything like that, right? P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But more people use PayPal and Cash App easier. If you want to use Cash App, put in a dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I, and you can make constant donations. If you want to, you know, Brother Baba Barudi is a prolific writer, and you want to check out some of his books, go to AkabinHouse.com. Akabin House, A-K-O-B-E-N, House.com. The Men's Quarterly is next Saturday, the 8th. Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at. Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at. And that's next Saturday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. And then okay, I got that invitation. But also too, there's a one with Mama Ya. Where is that at? Well, I'll speak on that because that's next week and we have time to deal with that because Mama Ya doing a presentation for the sisters on the same day at a later time, of course, and they've been coordinated. They've been coordinated like that for some time. So, and but on the seventh annual, June 5th, seventh annual Complementarity Conference, June 5th, Affirming African Love. And I will get you details on that. So, all right, brothers and sisters. All right. Go to the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's what I'm going to do. The Enye Sesem. Remember, on Fridays, I read yesterday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I can get back on Monday and just read Sunday and Monday. You know, I got this down. All right. April 29th. Be ever wonderful. Stay as you are. Time is right for you tonight. Find your place among the Broadway light. Stay as you are. And be ever wonderful. Stay as you are. Gonna find a few who will always walk with you. Oh, baby, many people claim, but their view's the same. Earth, wind, and fire, the elements. There is a difference between speaking with and talking at someone. Good, meaningful conversations are what binds a community. And it is the nature, feel, and rhythm of the spoken word that determines the closeness and tenor of the interpersonal relationships. If the nature is competitive, the feel, distance, and rhythm arrhythmiatic, the community will exist in an inferior, tenuous state. If, on the other hand, there is a cooperative tone to the conversations, a feeling of closeness in the words, even among individuals, among the groups who do not personally know each other, and a deep heartfelt rhythm to the sounds that come together to form the words tying these conversing, then there is a spiritual binding of the people. Affirm, I am wonderful. Be ever wonderful. I am wonderful. April 30th, he who has done evil expects evil. Guinea proverb. Through an evil lens will appear the same. Evil is arrogant, and the arrogance assumes others to be exactly as it is through lesser and or therefore in envidiously, covetously. It means coveting, you know. It expects imitation and theft. It expects deceit and manipulation from all others. It knows to do unto others before they get a chance to do unto them. Evil is not a new arrival. It has always been with us. Yet a true, uninhabited manifestation of evil did not begin walking this planet until the arrival of Urugu. Until the arrival of Urugu. Yet, be not dismayed. They and everyone who is with them will receive the justice they deserve. Every cruelty and injustice they have inflicted against humanity and all that is natural will be repaid in kind and more to ensure the lesson. They will reap what they have sown. Every seed they have planted secures their demise. So, do not be foolish or overtly human. Do not pity evil. Urugu is fully conscious of the hate it is. It knows what cometh. Affirm, I expect evil of Urugu. Affirm, I expect evil of Urugu. May 1st. The worth of a man is measured by his execution in word, act, and deed at the height of his power. The worth of a man is measured by his execution in word, act, and deed at the height of his power. H. Khalifa. A warrior without discipline is a warrior without character. In our tradition, you support that which is good, intent, and manifestation. To do otherwise speaks to a lesser character. Though we cannot stop others from seeing us as targets or choosing their own angry words to hurl at us, because of our insistent power threatens them, no responsible warrior would rely on the voices of envy, hatred, and ignorance to describe and or define this, or he, or his character, or possibilities for them, or, for that matter, infer with the phenomenal greatness of their revolutionary day. We stand because we have embraced our nature, and nothing unnatural will ever alter that. Firm. My behavior is exemplary of a warrior. Affirm, my behavior is exemplary of a warrior. We do what is right for the right thing and for the right reason. We do what is right. You know, sometimes I start the program and I'll say, you know, African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network. How that came about was back in Milwaukee, we had a community radio program. In fact, the call letters were WMCS, Milwaukee's Community Station. WMCS, Milwaukee's Community Station. And they had committed themselves to a talk format. You know, there was some syndication here and there, Bev Smith, and later Al Sharpton, and so forth. And they had some a morning person, a little bit of afternoon, and, of course, drive-by time. And I was on the radio program a number of times. In fact, substituted for many of the hosts. And on Fridays, they had a thing they called the Man Show. And myself and many others, brothers, we would get together about sometimes as many as five or six of us, talk about issues. And, of course, I'm bringing that African perspective. That's right. You know. And Willie Davis of the former Green Bay Packer, great, he owned, he was one of the shareholders, major shareholders, with All Pro Broadcasting, which owned that station, another FM station, and some stations across the country, particularly in Houston. And apparently at a vote, he was outvoted, and WMCS was no longer going to be a talk radio. So the brother did his program, a brother who's an ancestor now, Brother Eric Vaughn, a good friend, good man. He did his program, and then once he did his program, he went off at 9 o'clock. And at 9 o'clock Central Time, there was dead air. And of course, on commercial radio, you know, that's a bad thing. And but when the radio resumed, they were playing Elvis Presley music. They took the program off the air, which is a serious injury to our community, and added an insult by playing Elvis Presley music, adding insult to the injury they created. Man, because I hate Elvis Presley. I'm thinking most of us hate Elvis Presley. And there's a lot of us that don't because we don't understand. Man. So people in the community got together and we said, hey, let's get a radio station. Well, we tried. We put money together. And at one time I was broadcasting. I was one of the first ones and only ones that really that was really serious about broadcasting. And we were broadcasting on a religious program station on Fridays. And then I moved here and got on Blog Talk. So I was on Blog Talk Radio for a while. And my good brother, Brother Ralph, who was listening, and he hit me to Brother Elliot Booker out of Philly. Ralph's out of Philly. And Time for an Awakening. And so I contacted him and we talked, and that was the move. I wanted all of us to move, even us lifting us. But it takes equipment and so forth. It's like a real radio, you know, that kind of thing. Because, you know, Blog Talk is just dial up. But they went back to Blog Talk, and that's where they are on now. They're talking about coming to Time for an Awakening. I hope they do that. I hope they do it soon. They are. But we started out at Motherland Media. We called ourselves Motherland Media. We had an elephant, a bull elephant, African elephant with the tusks, the ears, you know. Motherland Media. That's why I always, that was my root, and that's why I always used that, even though I've been on Blog Talk. And I'm now on Time for an Awakening, but I still pay tribute to the beginning, Motherland Media. So that's why when I make that, you're listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. See, TuneIn is the major, it's a major radio. You know, they have the service, the server. And so Brother Scotty Reed out of North Carolina, he got a piece of that for Black Talk Radio Network. And so he has to broadcast 24/7. And he has a number of programs. So if you go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and you'll check out the many programs that he has on Black Talk Radio Network, of which Time for an Awakening is one. So Time for an Awakening also gets a piece of that from Black Talk Radio Network. And Time for an Awakening broadcasts 24/7. But of course, the every program that I mentioned every day on are the ones that are on Black on Time for an Awakening. You know, it goes to Diamonds, Black Therapy Central, Conversations Reparations, Black Reality Think Tank, the Farmers Report, Time for an Awakening, of course, on Fridays and Sundays. The Sister Talk with LaWanna Chambers and the Sankofa Elders Council. They're on Time for an Awakening. And so he broadcasts. So we pay Elliot and we pay, well, at least me, I pay Elliot and I get 2 hours. 2 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Wednesday, and 2 hours on Friday. And I'm happy with that. You know, I'm happy to try my best to bring you the information that I do. But of course, my program, it deals with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because I believe there is no other subject, there is no other choice. You know, the motto of my program, the motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. I can't put it any more different than that. I swear, I'm more direct than that. You know, so we talk sovereignty fact, today, the title of the program is The Only Solution. The only. Brothers and sisters, you may not understand this. You may not want to. The only solution for African people on this planet, on the continent, throughout the diaspora, everywhere we are, we need to be sovereign. The only solution is sovereignty. Controlling our land, controlling our resources, having a place for those who choose to live outside of the continent, but they have a right to be on the continent when they choose to. Imagine the feeling that you would have, just like other people who are from a country that they claim and that they hold true to, but even though they're elsewhere, they feel good about that. They feel strong about that because they have a home. They have a home. The only place that African people can claim, literally claim, without anybody saying a damn thing, is the continent of Africa. All the other places we are, and there's a lot of us in a lot of places here, more of us in Brazil than it is here, and you know what's happening in Brazil as well as India. The coronavirus is just running amok. And there are many Africans in Central and South America, many Africans in the Caribbean, of course. But the only one, only place, only land mass that we could say is ours. We originated. We're indigenous to it. It is ours. Is the continent. And why we don't put the delegation together of Africans in the diaspora and Africans on the continent to meet, work out the difference, and work to make Africa work for us. Damn, put your tribalism, put your religion, put your petty differences aside. Our future is not guaranteed. In fact, it is very tenuous at best with the things that are going on. And in a situation where we're tied up with Caucasians, every social ill with, if we're tied up with Caucasians, every social ill in that society is more profound in us than anybody else. By design. It's by design. And now you have other groups. Because they believe what Europeans have done since, because they came on, Europeans came on the scene heavy about 400, 500 years ago with a mindset of evil and lies. And they made the world hate us, made the world believe that we are stupid, ignorant, ugly. That being dark is terrible around the world. There are dark people, more dark people than anything. And yet they feel ashamed about who they are. They feel ashamed about their dark skin. In some places where they have television, even though there are a number of darker skinned people or melanated people in that country, they don't show them. Just like in Brazil. They don't show them. If they do, they servants. The only thing, the only solution for us is sovereignty. The only solution for us is sovereignty. And what is sovereignty? The successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, As always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources. We control our story, our culture. Our culture, time, space, and destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interest, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether aliens or traitors, whether within or without, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, self-empowered, and self-respecting. And since no nation has ever rose to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are as a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty must be our ultimate goal. Sovereignty. Why? It's not about here. We cannot be sovereign here. This is a government that is not by the people, for the people, and all that bull. You know, no, it's the oligarchy. It's run by the people who have wealth, have money. They manipulate everything. They dominate everything. No, that's not how it goes, family. You know, and so... We can't be sovereign here. We cannot be sovereign here. We can fight hard as we do to get some laws so we can be equal. We can have whatever the white man has. We can live wherever he lives, go to the school that they go to, have the job that they have, get promoted on the job that they have. Begging. That's why we've always got the crumbs that we got, because we're beggars. But Brother Oshie, we could do what we did back in, look what happened. Look what happened to Black Wall Street. That's right. Next month, I'm going to get myself together so I can go to Wall Street, Black Wall Street next month, to the 100th commemoration of that massacre. And now, nowhere in this country is there a community of American Africans that they are in control. That the community is self-sustaining. The community provides jobs for its people. The community educates its people. The community has resource and decent wealth for its people. Nowhere in this country. Reverend Dr. Leon Sullivan, who was a staunch advocate of doing some things for people and making opportunities available. He created the Opportunities Industrialization Center, OIC. In fact, that's how I got my GED, going to OIC, when they first opened in Milwaukee in the early 70s. Yeah, in fact, I got my GED because I dropped out and got my GED. And, of course, had I not done that, I wouldn't have been able to take advantage of the affirmative action program within the fire service. or anything else that would require a degree. But the bottom line is, we don't run nothing. We don't run nothing. The communities that did have some sustainability, those communities were destroyed. They were destroyed. Then in the 50s and 60s, through the Model Cities program, they were further destroyed. And other communities that had businesses and so forth, they ran expressways through those businesses, through those communities. And of course, if you have gone to the Topographical Research Center, then you know those expressways are not to get you from point A to point B, but if there is an insurrection, to get the military to get to that point without interference, to have easy access to get to where they have to go to quell that situation or to dominate that situation. And so, this being the case, the serious fight for us is Africa. The serious fight for us is putting our energies not continuing to beg these people here to enact laws. Please, what's the latest law? The law, I think, John Lewis' law on a voting tip. Ahmaud Arbery, I think, there's a law on that, or George Floyd law on that, on the police thing. All these laws that don't mean a damn thing. A lot of them aren't even worth the paper they're printed on. Because in this situation, with Caucasians, we'll always be at the low rung of the economic ladder or the societal ladder. But it should not be that way on the continent. Other people should not be treated better than the African citizens themselves on their homeland, because everybody else is not treated that way by a visitor on their homeland. They wouldn't stand for it. And yet, that's why the Pan-African Federalist Movement, that's why all of these things are so necessary, so vitally necessary. Vitally necessary, brothers and sisters. From Pan-African Alliance, from the Pan-African Alliance, the world needs Africa. Africa does not need the world. That beautiful statue of the brothers, lady, and their baby, you know, looking, jettisoning upward in Senegal. Beautiful statue in Senegal. You know. Home truth is defined as an important truth, a key truth, a fundamental truth, a cardinal truth, which is discomforting to acknowledge. The great African writer, Tuchingo, drove home the unpalatable truth, a home truth that makes some on both sides of the divide uncomfortable, but truth is the truth. In his book, Decolonizing the Mind, The Politics of Language in African Literature, he wrote, "Truth does not change because it is uncomfortable. Truth is universal, and no power in heaven, on earth, under the earth, can change the truth." You know, you want to say it's something different, but it can't change. Decolonizing the Mind, The Politics of Language in African Literature. In other words, you don't need to travel around the world to know that. The truth is the truth everywhere. But we are living in a world where the truth has been turned upside down and labeled fake news. Some of us refuse to accept this distortion of the truth. We know the reality is that without the benevolence of Africa and the massive contributions from Africans, Europe and America would not be where they are today. And y'all know it. And yet, we're treated with such disdain and disrespect. That's why I'm saying, go look at that documentary. Go look at that documentary. The movie, Great Pyramid K, 2019. I know it's a 3.5 hours. You might want to fast forward some of it if you, because it's long. But there's key pieces that are vital. The number one key piece is how they built the pyramids, but the real key piece is who did it. And it's us. It's Africans. It's not aliens. It's not Atlanteans. It's not none of that. No, it's us. It's African people. It's not, they didn't build them by slaves. It's African people. The truth must be told, and Africans must begin to stand up for the truth. Far too long, Africans have allowed themselves to be bamboozled with spurious Western tales. More often than not, we have been told that without European and American charity, i.e. the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and other nefarious Western institutions, African and Africans everywhere will cease to exist. The opposite is really the truth. The world needs Africa. Africa does not need the world. This is in his work, how, and we talked about Walter Rodney last Friday with Brother Akil Parker, how Europe underdeveloped Africa. Walter Rodney captured the European psychosis clearly to be understood by both the learned and the unlearned. I wish this book was made available to every African. Western topsy-turvy philosophy has succeeded in placing limitations on African capabilities. So far as Africa is hooked to the Western topsy-turvy philosophy, it is impossible for Africa to develop and break from the self-imposed misery and underdevelopment. The Western topsy-turvy relationship with Africa is mainly to slant the facts in order to justify the siphoning of wealth from Africa to enrich Europe and Chinese. Today, other nations are taking a page from the Western playbook to enrich themselves while taking advantage of the wealthiest continent on the planet. The wealthiest continent on the planet. That's what I'm saying. When Marcus Garvey was told, you from Jamaica, why don't you seek freedom for Jamaica? He said, what? I would give up a continent for an island? No. It's the continent. It's the continent that has the resources, the mineral resources. When I end the program, what do I say? The African mind. The M-I-N-D, but the African mind, the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, can't they think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. That's the fact. I played that piece about Howard Nicholas. Howard Nicholas, talking about why Africa must be kept poor so we can rip them off. We can take their resources, claim them for ourselves while we slowly find ways to eliminate them, to exterminate them. Today, other nations are taking the page from the Western playbook to enrich themselves while taking advantage of the wealthiest continent on the planet Earth, the wealthiest. And yet we walk around here like we... And now the person who's taking advantage the most, China. What we need to know is, an information mechanism to counter the false narratives imposed upon Africa and Africans. Walter Rodney wrote again, "The interpretation that underdevelopment is somehow ordained by God is emphasized because of the racist trend in European scholarship. It is in line with racist prejudice to say openly or to imply that their countries are more developed because their people are innately superior, and that the responsibility for the economic backwardness of Africa lies in the genetic backwardness of the race of black Africans. An even bigger problem is that the people of Africa and other parts of the colonized world have gone through a cultural psychological crisis and have accepted at least partially the European version of things. That means that the African himself has doubts about his capacity to transform and develop his natural environment. With such doubts, he even challenges those of his brothers who say that Africa can and will develop through the efforts of its own people." Many people challenge, many of us challenge each other to, instead of saying, see, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to debate and argue with somebody about whether or not we should be independent, self-determining, liberated, or sovereign. I want to talk about how best can we do this? How can we make this happen? I don't want to argue with some. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. The tango nailed the issue down beautifully. The very fact that what common sense dictates in a literary practice, in the literary practice of other cultures, is being questioned in an African writer is a measure of how far imperialism has distorted the view of African realities. Africa actually enriches Europe, but Africa is made to believe that it needs Europe to rescue it from poverty. Africa's natural and human resources continue to develop Europe and America, but Africa is made to feel grateful for aid from the same quarters that still sit on the back of the continent. Africa even produces intellectuals who now romanticize the upside down way of looking at Africa. We who went through the school system were meant to graduate with a hatred of the people and a culture and the values of the language of our daily humiliation and punishment. You are trained to hate Africa. You are trained to hate each other. You are trained. When I come back, I'll talk about the seven facts that set the record straight. And also, too, we'll talk about China. We're talking about sovereignty, brothers and sisters. Sovereignty. We need to be a sovereign people. We don't need to work with nobody at this time. We need to close ranks, pull our resources, and work with ourselves. We don't need nobody outside of us. I mean that. Literally, nobody. I don't give a damn how nice they think and say they are. Nobody. We'll check you out later. We need to work amongst ourselves to begin to believe in each other, respect each other, trust each other. Build. We sit on a continent, on a landmass that everybody's trying to get a damn piece of, and we running from it. We begging to go to Europe. We're begging to come here. Oh, I hate what has happened to us, and I hate that we continue to perpetuate it. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue with this conversation. You can join this conversation. You can dial 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Shakedown, Chicago Step. Yeah, it's Friday. That's a Friday song. And you know it is. It's a Friday song, Shakedown. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, on Mondays, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, of course, this program from 11 to 1, and all times they're going to give our Eastern times. But on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And then that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Moya Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And that's followed by Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So tonight at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening. And on Saturdays at 7, from 4 to 6, on Saturday, Sister Talk with LaWanda Chambers. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And a number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Pan-African Federalist Movement are having a program on African Liberation Day. That's May 25th, and you know how I'm going to be pushing it hard. Well, one of the programs is a Zoom program. It's hosted by the North American Pan-African Federalist Movement. And Mama Nabantu asked me to be a part of the program. And the program's title is What's in a Name? And if you listen to this program, you know I'm always talking about how important words are and a name is. So I'm going to be talking about that. And I'm going to have a program on that prior to the Pan-African Federalist Movement. We need to know. And there's going to be other speakers, other people involved. And we need that. That's going to be on Tuesday, May 25th. African Liberation Day. That's a day that we should celebrate. If we don't want to celebrate it on a Tuesday and we want to celebrate it today, the week prior, which is, of course, I think, will be the 22nd, that Saturday, or the following, the 29th, that Saturday, whatever it is, we need to, as a community, really push and promote it more so than Juneteenth, more so than any damn thing else. And I even mean Kwanzaa. And all of that, I love all of that because it brings it together. But what's most important, as I'm talking here to here right today and right now, is for Africa to be what? Liberated, independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. That's what I'm talking about today. Here are seven things that they believe are important. Africa never coveted Europeans' resources or natural wealth because we have had enough. We were satisfied with what God has given us, and not a single inquisitive like Europeans. Europeans wish they had all of Africa, while Africans have zilch, not a dada. They wish they could eliminate us. That's why when you've seen what's his name? Name escapes me. Microsoft. Bill Gates. Bill Gates on the TED talking about vaccines that'll help control population. I thought vaccines were just like this vaccine. That's what I'm saying. You know, we got to understand who we are dealing with. Eliminate people. When Prince, whatever his name is, from the British, talking about there's too many Africans having problems with the animals in the land, too many Africans, they need to depopulate. And yet the Chinese want to bring 300 million people into Africa. Number two, today thousands of European firms are operating and making huge profits in Africa, sustaining the European cultural economy, sustaining the European social economy and basically destroying the African environment. Number three, Africa never met in darkness to plan the plunder of Europeans, but Europeans met in darkness. The Berlin Conference of 1884-85, and to carve up Africa. But prior to that, just the theft, the physical theft, the human resource of Africa taken from out of Africa, the European theft. There is absolutely no African multinationals stealing from Europe and underdeveloping Europe like Europeans are doing in Africa. Europeans still meet daily in darkness just as they did in Berlin in 1884-85 with the African map before them planning how to rob Africa of her God-given wealth. Europeans and now the Chinese ownership of African human and natural resources still dominate the African landscape. Africans are often accused of being economic refugees, escaping poor Africa in search of greener pastures in Europe and America, when in fact, they are just following and seeking ways to retrieve some of their stolen treasures. Everything's coming out of Africa. Over 190 billion coming out of Africa each year, and only 30 billion going in through aid. Sickening. Addressing 30 African heads of state attending the 25th France Africa Summit in 2010 in Nice, France, then French President Sarkozy said that Europe and Africa were inextricably linked and highlighted the indispensability of Africa in resolving the major issues currently affecting the world. Africa is our future. For a long time on the periphery, the African continent is asserting itself more and more as a major player in international life. Yeah, right. France and Europe need Africa as much as Africa needs France and Europe. We don't need no damn France. We don't need no damn Europe. We don't need nobody but each other. And in a speech he delivered in Africa's leaders in Kampala, Uganda, 24 July of 2010, former UK Prime Minister made these startling revelations and confirmed what some of us have regarded as the eternal truth. Without Africa, there would be no Europe and global growth. Let me repeat. Without Africa, there would be no Europe and global growth. I got these computers before me. I'm quite sure you got computers before me, before you. You got that phone in your hand. You got all of these things. Without the resources of Africa, these things could not exist. Without Africa. Some people will say these balances are inevitable, that the world is out of kilter and there's simply nothing you can do. But I believe there is an alternative to what is now called the new normalcy in the global economy of how growth, how high unemployment, and instability on the one hand, high levels of absolute poverty and human waste on the other, the human lives that are in Africa. There is an alternative to a decade of low global growth, which would fail to meet both the development needs of Africa and the growth needs of Europe and America. To me, the answer is obvious. As we struggle to find new resources of growth, we must turn to Africa, to the continent of huge potential and talent. There is an alternative, and it is an alternative where Africa grows, thrives, contributes not only to her own development, but to the world recovery. That is the alternative, but it is possibly, But is it a possibility rather than a probability? Before the world would, as far as I'm concerned, we have to get it together first. We must know clearly what we are doing, who we are supporting, who we are backing, who we are helping. We must get it together first. We must control the land. We must control the resources. We must develop food production. We must develop housing, roads, and infrastructure. We must do it. It was these meetings that NATO, AFRICOM, the murdering mechanisms were set in motion to clear the major impediment to Western imprudence, Muammar Gaddafi. With Gaddafi out of the picture, the stage was set for the West to once again embark on the reckless plunder of Africa to feed its ferocious appetite. African can forget the current, the fickle leaders they have now. With Gaddafi gone, in the words of our ancestor Robert Mugabe, the current crop of leaders was quite different from the revolutionaries who fought for Africa's independence. You go and kneel before Sarkozy and Cameron and whoever else, before Obama, and say, yes, we shall do all you want us to do. All these leaders. And when you are kneeling, you are making your nation kneel before these imperialists. Pan-Africanists. Zimbabwe President Mugabe said Africa was going through its worst period ever. Not only have they become cowards, but they have become sellouts of their own people, betraying the nations of Africa. Africa simply needs the Nkrumah type and a new generation of revolutionary leadership to revive the current Western distortions, to reverse these current Western distortions. Today, Africa is reeling under economic dictatorship and massive doses of historical distortions. Historical distortions. Nkrumah. A supreme case are expressed by Kwame Nkrumah. Until the independent states of Africa are united in a single nation, the exploitation of Africa will never end. Brothers and sisters, we must be a part of the Pan-African Federalist Movement. This program, I told you, its motto is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. I ain't bullshitting. That's the reality. That's the deal. And I ain't apologizing about a damn thing. Although most Africans are poor in currency, our continent is potentially extremely rich. Our mineral resources, which are being exploited with foreign capital only to enrich foreign investors, range from gold and diamonds to uranium and plutonium. Our forests contain some of the finest woods to be grown anywhere. Our cash crop include cocoa, coffee, rubber, tobacco, cotton, all these things. Has for power, which is an important factor in any economic development, Africa contains over 40% of the potential water power of the world. In many parts of the world, because of climate change, particularly in this country, in the western part of it, they are running out of water. We must make, land management, resource management. Everything we would need. Yes, it is frustrating. 40% of potential water power of the world has compared to only 10% in Europe and only 13% in North America. Yet so far, less than 1% has been developed. This is one of the reasons why we have in Africa the paradox of poverty in the midst of plenty. And scarcity in the midst of abundance. It is ridiculous. Never before have a people had within their grasp so great an opportunity for developing a continent endowed with such huge wealth. Individually, the independent states of Africa, some of them potentially rich, others poor can do little for their people, but together, by mutual help, they can achieve much. But the economic development of the continent must be planned and pursued as a whole. A loose confederation designed only for economic cooptation would not provide the necessary unity for purpose. Only a strong political union can bring about full and effective development of our natural resources for the benefit of our people. Damn, y'all. I'm just angry at the potential for us that the leadership in this country, the leadership in the diaspora, the leadership on the continent doesn't say, hey, y'all, stop this shit. Let's come together. Stop this sugar, honey, iced tea. Let's sit down, figure this out. Ain't no Caucasians up in this meeting. Ain't no Chinese up in this meeting. We'll deal with all of them later. No Indians, nobody but us up in this meeting. And if your ass is a traitor, if your ass is something, we gonna deal with you. We will deal with you. Never before have a people held within their grasp so great an opportunity for developing a continent endowed with such wealth. Individually, the independent states of Africa, some of them potentially rich, others poor, can do little. Together, by mutual help, they can achieve much. But the economic development of the continent must be planned and pursued as a whole. A loose confederation designed only for economic cooptation would not provide the necessary unity of purpose. Only a strong political union can bring about full and effective development of our natural resources for the benefit of African people. The evidence that Africa throughout history had built, sustained, and provided the impetus for Western development is overwhelming. Let us not allow them to continue with this twisting. Enough already. Most Africans have been conditioned to accept this distorted reality. Let us reject the arrogance and the ignorance of the West. Without Africa, there will be no Europe or America. We must surely get rid of this unholy falsehood, which has been deeply implemented in the inner recesses of our minds, that Africa's survival depends upon Western benevolence. Pan-African ideas should be forcefully expressed to correct the continued rape of the continent and overthrow the dangerously entrenched European belief system. Only the undiluted truth shall set Africa and Africans free. What did I tell you about one of the main impediments to that? That's right. The theology. The theologies that we have to deal with. The religions we have to deal with. Main impediments. How China is colonizing Africa using trade, aid, and debt trap diplomacy. Our ancestors were all aware of the dangers of neocolonialism. During the 1974 Pan-African Conference, African leaders from around the world conferred the following: to put an end to foreign domination in Africa by destroying the basis of the last colonial and racist regime, because for long has part of the African continent continues to suffer under the yoke of foreign domination, irresponsibility, and indignity, the personality and moral integrity of every man, whether or not of African descent, will be jeopardized. That was from the 9th point resolution of the 6th Pan-African Conference. What our ancestors could never have predicted was the rise of China as the new colonial threat. That's because Europeans still maintained. Substantial control over their former colonies. And China was in the middle of its Mao-led cultural revolution, a genocide that would cost between 3 to 10 million Chinese lives. But everything changed with both the death of Mao in China and the death of overt colonialism in Africa. These events unleashed the economic appetites of China on the unguarded source of unlimited wealth of Africa. After the death of the founding father of the People's Republic of China, the nation dismantled many of the oppressive closed-doors policies of the Maoist regime. A new economic progressive leader, Deng Xiaoping, came to power and placed more emphasis on modernizing agriculture, industry, national defense, science, technology, and then political ideology. This ushered in a period of unprecedented economic growth and investment in foreign nations. In fact, as it states right here, and if you didn't know it, now you do, China is one of the top people that has American debt. China could say to America, I'm going to cash in. Give me my money because I'm holding the debt. See, China has deep poverty. Yes, a number of people in China have been coming out of poverty into the so-called middle class. There's, you know, places like, of course, the battle over Hong Kong, but Shanghai and other places. But the bottom line is that the Chinese, that's why they're talking about getting rid of 300 million people. Because of the deep poverty. They don't have a safety net in China. Not everybody in China is taking advantage of what's going on. Got a call. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie, what's happening? Listen, I just heard you say one of your most famous statements.
What's that?
Unify or die.
Yeah.
And when you said it, brother, Ralph jumped up out of his chair and threw his fist up in the air.
Right on.
And just put a smile on his face.
That's right.
Because that right there is one of the most bullshit statements you could ever make. Because black folks ain't going to unify, and they damn sure ain't going to die trying to liberate the continent. I'm sorry to say it, brother.
I know.
The reality
is, Ralph,
we don't want that type of smoke.
You know what?
We don't want to challenge the white man.
You know what, Jay?
We love the white man.
You know what, Jay?
We don't want nothing to do with real liberation unless it's fighting other Africans.
You know.
We allow the Chinese to come in.
You know
and
what,
take
Jay?
Over. We allow everyone to come in and just bastardize us. So, brother, we.
You know what, Jay?
To do it, but
you know
it
what, Jay?
Reality.
You know what, Jay? You probably was the same brother in our captivity that kept saying, "Why y'all want to do this, man? We gonna be slaves forever. Just enjoy it. Just work your ass in the fields."
I was gonna be
that kind of.
Lines of the burning necktie.
Yeah.
That would have been my thing, and then I'd have just died. I mean, you know, the reality is this. I dig where you're coming from, and you know, that's the direction that we should go. But you want to know the truth of the matter is, Ochi, and I've come to this conclusion based on this society and based on what we're dealing with as an African people. The hardest thing in the world is to be a conscious African. There's nothing in the world harder than that, because the reality is it's the most beautiful and the most gracious thing in the world, but it's the hardest thing. You know why? Because everything that it takes to be an African is opposed by everybody who doesn't want to be an African. That means Africans, other nationalities, the oppressor, everybody. So whenever you make that decision to be an African, remember this. You're in for a painful existence until you go meet the ancestors, and then you will be rewarded for standing up and being something that is the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, well, let me just say
you know
this.
What I mean?
Okay, I got
just,
so Jay. Okay, that's real talk. Here's the real talk. Because if you don't believe it and you don't put the energy into it, it'll never be achieved. Because I just said that you was probably one of those brothers who are in captivity. We ain't gonna never be free. Oh no, it ain't going to happen. Well, damn it, we became free physically. But what the European did is took the chains off our ankles and put them on our minds, which is an even deeper, you know, situation, which makes us think the way you're saying right now, that it'll never happen. My idea is, damn it, it's going to happen. And I put every bit of energy. I'm on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday. Have I ever talked about anything else except for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people? No. And if I did talk about something, that is interwoven. Because that's the bottom line, Jay. That's our bottom line. It ain't integration. It ain't going along to get along. It ain't more people in Congress or get a senator here or there or even to be president of this bull. It ain't none of that. What it is independence, self-determination, and sovereignty for African people as a global phenomenon. Hold on, Jay. Hold on, Jay. I got a caller here. 447. 447. Good afternoon. 447. 447. Good afternoon. Okay. Yeah. 447.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, hello, brother Ochi. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother Paul. How are you?
Yes. Well, I'm alive, and means I can do better. And better, I must do.
Yes, that's right. If you're in a position to do better, please do. I know that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me just give an introduction. I'm going to follow up what Brother Jay, maybe take a slightly different angle on it. When we talk about unity.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Obviously, for a long time, various ones among us, especially the conscious ones, have been hearing this term unity. The question is actually, I mean, it sounds very simple, but what does it really look like, and what really is it, and when does it really happen? You know, I'm going to say a thing which might sound a bit controversial. I don't think we are as disunified as we like to imagine we are, or as the mass manipulating media makes out that we are. You understand? And then I think about Brother Franklin and his work. The European, as you call them, they spend a lot of time and effort trying to control the world. It's not just simply because they are gifted with some magic skill or they've got some divine purpose. They spend, I would estimate, probably 80% of their output trying to control others. That's their goal. So they've built institutions based around controlling others. You know, this country I'm born in, called England, spend a lot of time writing up plans. And do you know what? You can actually see those plans. It's based in something they call history. You can actually, if you read and study their history, you can see their plans and their illusions of grandeur to attempt to control the world. The country which you live in, you call America, that was their first big plan. As far as my evidence serves me, it was called the New Atlantis, written up by Sir Francis Bacon, who was the Chancellor of this country. For those who don't know, the Chancellor of the country is the person who holds the bank purse. He holds the GDP and controls the economics of the country. That's the Chancellor. And Sir Francis Bacon was the Chancellor of this country. The next stage after being a Chancellor, a lot of the times, is to become the Prime Minister of the country and run the country. So, as I understand it from my research, he drew up a plan called the New Atlantis, and then they formed the first colony, which you call America. And from that point on, they've used the country which you call America to bully the world into submission. Now, the thing is, when you look at the facts, the Federal Reserve, which is the central banking system in America, no country or stroke corporation in the world can do foreign exchange or foreign transactions without going through the Federal Reserve. To me, that's absolute lunacy, but that is the system. When we talk about governments of Africa, the governments of Africa are not separate from this system of fiat currency driven through the Federal Reserve and controlled by them and, you know, on an international basis. So therefore, we have to, this thing about unity, I think unity has to come from a concept of educating oneself to understand the game being played. Because, for instance, there is nothing stopping any of these so-called African countries to form their own economic purpose or economic strategy or system. But we have seen the consequences of attempting that, and that's the reality. So the next stage, we know the reality that we saw that with Gaddafi. What happened with Gaddafi when Gaddafi tried to set up their own system of finance, which is the is basically the weapon of mass destruction. Because at the end of the, well, of mass progress, I should say. Because at the end of the day, if you're tied in through the Federal Reserve and everything, they can just cut off your finance and deplete your country by the touch of a button. So unity has to be a strategy. It has to be, and those have to have, those who are about to implement that strategy have to have the courage and the willingness and the and the defense position to push that strategy. Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead, Paul. I'm here. I'm listening. I'm going to rebut. There's no doubt.
Yeah. So, you know, I absolutely, you know, it's painful because when I listen to you, yeah, I must admit, you know, like Brother Jay, the frustration, that's what I think I'm hearing from Brother Jay. And I've been there too. And I can't say that's left me that frustration because it does get frustrating. But in truth, what you say, you know, well, I don't personally think we are as disunified as the mass manipulating media would like to make us believe. I don't think that at all. But I know they spend massive. For instance, I keep saying this, and I want somebody to challenge me on it, or rebuttal it. I mean, think about this. I mean, why are you speaking English? You're not born in England. Why the hell are you speaking it? You're speaking it because you've been conquered.
That's right.
I'm sorry to put
you've
it like that.
You've been colonized.
Absolutely. Well, colonize is a lovely word for
right.
Rape, murder, torture,
exactly.
And kill. It's just a pretty word.
Exactly.
For murdering, raping, killing. And that's what's happened. That's why you're speaking it now.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, right, you know,
we would be speaking French had the French wine. We would be speaking Portuguese had the Portuguese wine.
Even Spanish.
Spanish.
There was a time when there was a Spanish war in that continent where you live. And
yes,
they were trying to
the Spanish-American War. Exactly.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Because the British and the English won, that's why we speak the way that we do. And that's why we have such reverence. You know, Paul, you're not here, but believe me, I hate it. Because they give such glowing reverence to the queen and to the monarchy, the royals. It just makes me sick. The royals.
But Ochi, let me just come in there. They have to. They have to. Because if they don't, right, then that means that they're not acknowledging their roots. That's their roots. That's the head of the, I'm not going to call it supremacy, the white extremist system. That's the head. That of course they're going to acknowledge that. Of course they're going to give reference to it. Because that is their root. Their root ain't in America. Their root is with the head of the white extremist system, the Grand Patroness of Freemasonry, as some of their titles relate them. That is their root. And that's where they know that they have to. I mean, now how can they dare cut themselves off from the root? Who would they be? Come on. Let's move away from the illusion. If they cut themselves off from the root, then the branches are going to fall off. They know that. I mean, I even understand. I mean, you know, New York used to be called New Amsterdam. Was that not correct?
That's correct.
Wasn't it the Dutch who had control of that?
Yes.
So the English kicked them out of it,
mm-hmm.
and took it over.
Yeah.
Call it New York after York up here in
That's
England.
Right.
This is a game.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game. Right? So you're absolutely right. I agree with you. And, you know,
my argument is that I think we're more unified than we when they while they give them credit for, because I live here, and I know, absolutely know, I don't believe, because belief is just something someone told you and you just accept it without doing your due diligence or any information to back it up. I absolutely know there's much evidence right now. If you don't know, in Northern Ireland, right now in Northern Ireland, they're kicking off again. They're kicking off again. And why are they kicking off? Because Northern Ireland has been divided from the UK. They call it part of the UK. And then the Irish have never accepted it. So right now they're out in the streets. You don't hear that because they're not going to report it.
Sure
haven't. They're not going to tell you.
Well, I remember when it was going big and they, you know, planting bombs and so forth. And so now they're...
Well, let me tell you this. The young are out there again. The young are out in the streets throwing petrol bombs, fighting with the police, because they've not accepted it. So don't let them make you, don't let them allow you to believe that they're all unified, these Europeans, because right here in Europe, they're not unified at all. Absolutely not. What, if they were so unified, why would the English want to pull away from them, pull away from Europe?
Right, right.
Because they're not. They're absolutely not unified. And so they have to make you feel that you are not unified. Look at you. Keep reporting the news how poor you are, how bad you are. You're not poor. You're rich. You're born divine. You're born divine in your DNA. It's not money makes you rich. It's your destiny, your divinity. That's what makes you rich. And they know that. Absolutely. So, you know, this concept, I absolutely agree with you. Unity, we have to actually look what unity really is. And I think it's more complex than what we think it is. It's not just a soundbite or a word. It's absolutely more complex. There's a lot of things which unify us without, by divinity. It just naturally does it.
But
see, you know, spiritually.
But see, what,
it's you rhythms. Know. You know, Brother Ochi, I'm telling you something, right? You're not going to... this is so incredible. You know, sometimes I'm listening. With this technology, you can listen to... you know, various radio stations, as you pointed out.
Right.
And I have heard on certain days, at certain times, a music track being played on a particular platform and the same record being played here. How can that be possible? I've heard same arguments being raised on the same time, in the same hour. That, look, we're unified by divinity. That's why we're unified, and they know it. That's why they spend 85, 90% of their time setting up institutors to make us feel that we're not, you understand? We're unified because we're on the right side of it. That's why we're unified. And they are spending the time to disunify us. Who set up these countries? We didn't set up these countries. They did. They put the borders there.
That's right.
They did. That's we didn't right. do it. They did.
They did it. They did it. All those, they did it. All those, when you look at a political map, all those lines that are drawn were drawn by them at the Berlin Conference of 1884-85, where they carved up
Absolutely.
Africa like a cake. You know.
Absolutely.
You know, to me, we can and we must and we will. I know some of us don't believe it. Let me get Jay in here. Let me get Jay. Jay, you still with us, man?
Yeah, man, I'm listening to Paul and you. You know, I ain't going nowhere. I'm here
right on, brother. I appreciate
long,
you. And let me
long,
say this.
For the long haul.
Right on.
Hey, I think Ralph may be trying to call in.
Well, have Ralph call in. I want Ralph to get in here. I ain't got too much time. I only got 10 minutes.
I was trying to text him and tell him.
Yeah.
You know, because
I appreciate
it. I just want to ask Paul this question right here. Because, you know, you have a situation over there where the queen and her family run everything. I always like to wonder, why do black folks love the queen and her family so much?
Well, Brother Jay, I really can't speak. I can't speak for all black people, yeah. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, you know, the only way I can articulate it is that, all right, let me explain this way. A funny thing happened. My daughter, yeah, my mother is a Christian, you know. I don't see myself as a Christian, but like a lot of us, our parents are Christians, and I think my daughter, you know, I don't impose my consciousness or what I know on my children. I don't do it, but they know what I stand for. And obviously, because they share my DNA, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. But my mother, my daughter made a comment
and it got back to me that she was at my mother's house, and she went to the Queen was on the TV, and she went to switch over the TV. So my mum, my mum must have said to her, "No, she's watching it." And so she said, "Grandma, why are you watching it? Why are you watching this? You know." So my mum tried to indoctrinate her the same way most of us have been indoctrinated into the Queen, and almost all told my daughter that the Queen is next to Jesus. My daughter, was about 8 years old at the time, 9 years old, told her she doesn't like the Queen. She doesn't like who she stands for. My daughter told her that. I never told her that, but that's what she has in her head. So, you know, all of us share different levels of consciousness, and we all know in our own families, you know, despite our indoctrination, whether it be the Christian indoctrination, the Islamic indoctrination, or Buddhist, or whatever you're indoctrinated with, you know, some of us are born into these concepts, but we find a way out. We see the truth, and that's just the way it is. So I know that all black people aren't indoctrinated by the aristocracy and monarchy.
She said the Queen was the closest thing to God.
Well, not God, but put it up there with the Bible and stuff. But
right,
that's
up there with the Pope.
That's how it's portrayed.
Yeah, well,
that's,
you know,
God blessed her soul.
Yeah,
as that's one would portrayed. Say, all you can say is God bless her soul. That's all. You can't say anything else. Once you at that point where you think a white woman deserved to be on that type of pedestal, you've been totally brainwashed. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do once you get a person that's brainwashed.
You know,
Hold on, Jay. Go ahead.
Not to offend anybody, but for over 2,000 years, we've been looking at a white man supposedly on the cross, and that's men and women. I've been looking at this white man and giving homage to this white man on a cross who probably didn't even exist. So,
yes,
you know, the reality of it is that this indoctrination is global. You understand?
And I'm talking about any black person anywhere on this planet that sees the world from that lens is totally brainwashed. They under Stockholm syndrome, and there ain't nothing you can do to change them. That's why I was saying earlier, the hardest thing in the world is to be an African. There's nothing more harder, because everybody against you. Your own people against you. You know other nationalities are against you. And the white man is definitely against you. So, I mean, come on.
Well, see,
the only thing I take a difference with, is this, Brother Jay. Change is a natural occurrence. Change is not defined. Mm-hmm. Everything is changing.
Yes.
Everything is changing every minute of the day. You're changing. Everybody changes.
Yes.
The reality of it is that someone is trying to control those changes.
Yes.
But in reality, everything has to change. Nothing stays the same. So we just have to work with the forces of nature, and we will see change happen.
That's because where this we is make the mistake.
CJ, Jay, Jay, no.
Mistake. Some
Jay.
Things stay the same.
Jay.
Some things never change.
Jay, what has to change is the condition of us as African people. We can no longer continually to accept what a minority people on the planet, which are less than 10%, that dominate and control everything. I know, and you know, that one of the things they did that is deep for us is the capturing of our minds and putting into our minds a theology connected to them and a savior connected to them. I don't give a damn what you may have in your church, in your Christian church, a Jesus with an afro, a Jesus with locks. I don't give a damn what you have. The mind that they've instilled in us in Christianity, it is Caucasian. It is European. It is white. One of the main impediments for us not coming together, Jay, and breaking these chains that they have on our ass and on our minds is the theology. And I ain't just talking about Christianity. It's Islam as well. It's Hebrew Israelite as well. It's all of that madness. And it prevents us and divides us and manipulates us to continue to go along to get along with their madness. So at some point, that's going to change. That is going to change. And people are waking up, not as, you know, as quick as I wanted it to happen. As you can always hear my frustrations, but damn it, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, that's what I'm going to be talking about, to try my best to make it happen, to put something on our minds, to get us to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have set, to release that vice grip that they have on our minds, to make us think and behave the way we do. So it's going to change. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
When you know, everybody, you know, Brother Ochi, you know what crazy thing is, yeah. When I spent time in New York, yeah, I saw so many people. It's so crazy. I saw so many people, like men and women, who looked like people I left behind, yeah. I can't tell you how many times people mistook me for someone else.
Of course,
in New York, right?
They do that to me too. Right?
And even when I was in Jamaica, the same thing happened, right? Yeah. Same thing. Now, I find it most crazy. I find it really like someone, you know, these people who say, well, we're not from Africa and all this, man. I just find that absolutely lunatic. I wonder if they can see with their eyes, because it's just crazy. I mean, I'm not lying to you. How many times I lost count of how many times I was mistaken for somebody. It's only when I opened my mouth and spoke and they say, oh, you're from Europe. You know, they never say you're from England, you're from Europe. And in actual fact, the first time I ever heard if I'm from Europe was when I was in America. Nobody here in England says they're from Europe. Nobody says that. Especially these English people. They do not say they're from Europe. They say they're from England. You understand? So, you know, we learn things when we travel. We see and we hear. You know, you've got to leave that locum and travel to open up your mind. You have to see. You have to meet people. You have to go out in the world. Because you're being indoctrinated by the media, the mass manipulated media, and you really believe those thoughts are yours. But until you travel and speak to people, real people, not TV people or whatever, internet people, real people, then you see what the world is really about.
And I tell you, you know, if we don't do this, if we don't do this, we will cease to exist as an African people. We will cease to exist. You know, Europeans, we all understand that Europeans, because of their evolutionary development, are the last people on the planet to engage in human development. And because of that, and because of how they are and who they have been experiencing negative population growth. For every two that die, only one is born. And now it looks like for every three that die, only one is born. And so what are they doing here? I don't know about Jay. Tell me, Jay. I'm going to go a little long here. Tell me, Jay, in England, do you have a number of commercials that promote Caucasians or British along with Africans, with husband and wife and children that look,
you see, Brother Ochi. People are going to think, oh, he's just making this up. But this is how we're unified. And this is why we've got to go beyond the physical. Because if I tell you, if not just yesterday or the day before, I was thinking about this question. And I tell you why. And in actual fact, if my memory serves me right, I'm sure I was speaking to somebody about this exact point. Now, it's only from listening to these radio platforms in America, and then I realized that the same thing which is going on here is been going on there. Now, years ago, when that wasn't happening, say before 2012,
yes!
I didn't see that.
No.
No. But listen,
hold on. Just hold it right there, Paul. Hold your thought, please. It was not happening. Not even 5 years ago here.
But I'm going to explain to you what happened.
But there's a proliferation. Hold on, Paul. Here in this country, when you watch the Tell Lie Vision, almost every third commercial, over 25-30% of the commercials are a Caucasian man, an African woman. Every now and then, a black man and a Caucasian woman. You know, you see this kind of dynamic consistently. Go ahead.
Well, it's like this, Brother Ochi. The first time I actually saw it, I got family in Canada when I was in Canada, and it was an eye opener for me because, in actual fact, I wouldn't, if I'd be honest with you, it was just something new because I didn't see that in England. I saw that when I went to Canada. It was like very liberal type, you know, and I just thought that's what it was, very liberal country, whatever they were trying to bring, some sort of whatever they were trying to do. But 2012, we had the Olympics in this country. And there was a lot of controversy around the sign. If you can picture in your mind 2012, well, the two people were saying Red Z, Zion, right? They were trying to say that hidden in the 2012 was the word Zion. And without going into, we haven't got time to go into the whole meaning of it. But what came up was that the advertising company behind it was not exposed is probably the wrong word, but they came to light. And another thing what came to light was that those advertising company, one which we had in the country, I don't know if you're familiar with this, there was one big advertising company in this country called Saatchi & Saatchi. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They were international, right? And another thing what came to light is how these corporations, advertising companies, work globally. They work globally. So they are the same adverts you're getting, they've made, and the same adverts we advertise. So they are the adverts which you're seeing are work for the same company. It's the same major companies who are making these adverts. And obviously, there's a strategy behind it. And you can actually find that strategy when you study the Tavistock Institute. If you study the works of the Tavistock Institute, they talk about all these things, about how they're going to control people's minds through advertising. It's all written, you know. Brother Franklin's talk about the Tavistock Institute. So this is all exactly the point you've raised. It's not coincidental. It's a strategy. It's a strategy. You know, I'll be honest with you, right? You know, I don't have nothing against mixed race people or whatever. But the point is, I have a problem because I see what they're trying to do. And what they're trying to do is undermine the black family.
Yes.
That's the problem I have with it.
Yes.
That is exactly what they're trying to do. That is a strategy.
Well, that's
and another thing they're trying to promote is homosexual.
Homosexuality.
That's their purpose, too.
So that's their purpose.
The black family. And it's funny you should raise it. This is why I'm saying how unified we are. Because when I was thinking about this a few days ago, I was saying somebody has to do a study. I've looked on the internet and I've seen all the evidence how these are companies, but somebody has to do a study to actually show that there's an agenda behind it and expose the agenda. Because the first thing they're going to say, obviously, you know what I mean, you know, you're picking on a certain group. No, that's not what it's about. You can clearly see there is an agenda. And in most of the adverts, the black man is always seemed to be effeminized or a bit silly and a bit. You understand?
Yeah.
You can see the agenda behind it. There's a defined agenda. And, you know, it's discriminatory and it's just wrong. So
I
totally get with that.
I got to go. Jay, you got a word or two, brother, before we get up out of here for this weekend? Hey, Jay, you're breaking up. You're breaking up, Jay.
I said there's a total agenda to keep the black man down. There's always going to be something in the mix to make us seem and look like we are not who we really are.
Absolutely.
As the fathers of the planet.
Yeah.
And until we realize that, we're just going to constantly go through this craziness. But no, you cannot support LGBTQ and interracial marriages and none of that stuff.
No.
Because it just dilutes the coffee.
No.
The black coffee, once it becomes diluted, it's not strong anymore.
That's right. That's what Malcolm said. He said, you want coffee, you want it black, and you want it strong. You integrate it with some cream. You integrate it with some sugar. It used to wake you up. Now I'll put you to sleep, you know? Yep.
Brothers.
All right, my brothers. Brother Paul, thank you, man, for calling in. Mama Nabantu.
No, thank you for giving up the time, Brother Ochi. It's so important. And to all the callers and listeners, it's absolutely essential.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Peace to you. Jay, have a great weekend, man. Mama Nabantu, have a great weekend. I got your information. Yes, you know I'm going to be a part of that on the 25th of May, African Liberation Day. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Forward to it.
All right, dear.
And the list of all the biracial commercials. We need to write letters to the sponsors. Get rid of them.
I hear you. All right, dear. You have a blessed day.
Brothers, all right, you too now.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a great weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibu Hardie. Bibu Hardie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great weekend. Be safe. Peace, family.